the wallet into a nearby garbage can. I briefly considered retrieving the wallet and returning it to the woman. It would have been the chivalrous thing to do. Then I looked down at the line of stitches along my right wrist, the jagged suture line where my father attached the hand of a pickpocket to the arm of an axe murderer so many years ago. And I remembered how poorly it has gone for me when I have tried to interact with mundane women in the past. I felt no need to battle through an army of pitchfork and torch-wielding peasants to finish my task in New Orleans, so I left the wallet where it lay. Perhaps the young woman would consider the inconvenience a life lesson and pay more attention to her surroundings. Perhaps not. Either way, the hooded, artful dodger was out of my view, and the parade of drunken mortals careening from hurricanes to hand grenades to other frozen concoctions with festively destructive names continued on in its garish parade of beads, breasts, and brightly colored masks. I motioned a waiter to my table to refresh my pitcher of water, passing him another folded $20 bill. I ordered no food and only water to drink, but as long as I paid a reasonable rent on the table, I sat as long as I liked. In exchange for being very little trouble and a very consistent tipper, the waiter kept the tables near me free of children or loud parties and left me largely to my own devices. I watched the sea of human randomness ebb and flow until nearly midnight, then stood. I nodded to the waiter and stepped over the low wrought iron fence surrounding the patio. My size is often an annoyance, but I will admit that there is a certain directness to being able to just walk over 3-foot barriers. I walked the quarter, keeping to the side streets and alleys, feeling the pulse of humanity without ever truly immersing myself in it. The heat and the crowd contributed to a miasma about the area, a foggy stink of beer, sweat, and lust that permeated every corner. I stepped in front of another teen before he could slip his hand in a businessman's pocket. I tapped a thug on the shoulder and asked him for directions just as he reached for a knife to cut a purse strap. I stepped into the mouth of an alley at the right moment to startle a would-be mugger. These petty crimes I could deter, and did, through my very size and presence. It was not enough. It was not fulfilling. I needed more. The crush of so many people, so many desires, so much sound was an unbearable pressure upon me. Perhaps leaving the patio was a mistake. This close to so much that is so overwhelmingly alive, I desperately needed to feel a part of that in myself. I needed release. Violent release. I found it. I found it in the form of two men too greedy or confident or stupid to evaluate their situation effectively. I found it in a woman too brave or too rushed to stick to the brightly lit streets when walking back to her car, parked just one block too far from the safe spaces of the Crescent City. I found it in her muffled scream as the men converged on her, just as she reached her car and thought she was safe. I stepped into the pool of orange light cast by the street lamp above my head. The smaller man had a curved knife in his hand, his index finger threaded through a hole in the hilt. A carambite, it was called. He held it correctly, the blade protruding from the bottom of his clenched fist, pressed up against the woman's throat. She was tall, taller than her attacker, with a lovely head of curly brown hair. He was a thickly built man, bald, with tattoos crawling up his neck from the edge of his leather jacket. His companion hung back, watching the show and laughing. He was big, almost my height, and fat. I expected him to be slow and probably heavily armed. The big ones aren't always stupid, and when they aren't, they can be dangerous. But he was probably stupid. Most of the petty criminals are. "You should let her go," I said from my place in the light. I wore a hoodie myself because my appearance draws unwanted attention in brightly lit places, but I took the hood down now. I wanted the attention my scarred face would bring, and the type of attention it brings was exactly the type I wanted. "You should go fuck yourself," the big man.